I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Parallax is you observe an object, you see a change, but that change is not really a change in the object, but just a change in how you relate to the object in your perspective of the object.
Welcome to the testing room of the Parallax Corporation's Division of Human Engineering.
Now please cross the chair. And you will sit down. Make yourself comfortable. And be sure to place each one of your hands on the box on either side of the chair. Making sure that each one of your fingers is on one of the white rectangles. Just sit back. Nothing is required of you except to observe the materials that are presented to you. Be sure to keep your fingers on the box at all times. Alright? Hope you find the test a pleasant experience.
On this edition of Parallax Views, a casual conversation with Cole James Cash of GNN, or Ghetto News Network, on YouTube. Now, if you're not familiar with Cole, he's a rapper and a political commentator, and you can check out his work on YouTube at GNN Channel 10. Since starting GNN last March, Cole has been on the rise in left media spaces, having interviewed such personalities as Jamie Peck of the Antifada podcast, friend of the show Ben Burgess, author of Give Them an Argument, Logic for the Left, and progressive commentator Benjamin Dixon. Additionally, Cole has gone mano a mano in debates with Tulsi Gabbard supporter Nico House, and most infamously, as we will talk about at the end of our conversation, the black conservative commentator Jesse Lee Peterson. If you haven't seen that, debate, check it out on YouTube. Just type in Cole James Cash, Jesse Lee Peterson. I'm sure you can find it pretty easily that way. Anyways, this conversation is relatively free form, very casual, and I hope that you will enjoy it. And with that being said, let's dive right in with Cole James Cash of GNN. Welcome to Parallax Views, Cole James Cash of the Ghetto News Network, Channel 10, baby.
Yeah, you know what? It stands for Ghetto News Network, but people who are big rap fans catch on to the fact that it says GNN Channel 10. That actually stands for, it's an old Noriega line. CNN, Network, Channel 10. It's on again, like it's from the War Report. And, that's a song I love. It's literally called Channel 10. And, you know what, man? Thank you for inviting me on here. I did a pretty big show yesterday. And you know what? I'm happy to be right back at it next day, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I've been I've enjoyed what you're doing with GNN since you started it in the early episodes. Maybe you can tell my listeners, what's that?
Started in March, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't believe we've gone this far. You know, I can't believe I've gone this far, man. Because how can I put this, man? Like, there are guys in there who've had podcasts for a few years and things like that, and they're really good, you know? And they don't have anywhere near the patrons and things like that. And I'm like, damn, man, like, what the fuck did I do, you know? Because these are the other guys within the leftist business community that I love and respect, man.
Well, and I was going to ask you really about that.
People are really fucking with it.
What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
They're really fucking with my show, man.
Yeah. I mean, I dig it. I wanted to ask, so you mentioned the Left is Best community. We're both friends with Michael Brooks and the whole crew at Majority Report. Shout out to everyone, David Slavik, the Antifada podcast. But were you always on the left? I know I read that you were involved with a group called the Conservative Rap Coalition. I don't know what that was about.
Now, hold on. Let me cut you off. The Conservative Rap Coalition only has to do with rap, meaning, man, I'm not with all this new rapping about, you know, Xanax and lean and all that shit. No, man, no. I want to hear straight braggadocious, you know, who's selling drugs, who shot who. That's what I want to hear about. Conservative meaning I don't want my rap to advance anymore. I want it to stay grimy. That's the CRC.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. I mean, I dug the one song I heard. I guess it was Insert Coin and Street Champion.
That's off of my album Street Champion. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, first of all, commend you for the fact that I am a legit musician. I produce and I've worked with countless rappers, man, known and unknown, platinum and non-platinum, man. Before I got shot, my career was hugely on the rise. And, you know, I'm finally making a comeback, not just, you know, through this doing podcasting, but also making a comeback period because I got 5 albums unreleased. So, the CRC, man, I'll rock the Conservative Rap Coalition all day, man, because you like it. You know, I have a mixtape called, I forgot what it was called. Rap Republicans, Volume 1. And I wouldn't be able to even call it that anymore because that came out in 2014. I did that while I was in rehab. And basically, Rap Republicans means, nah, we ain't changing shit, my nigga. We ain't changing shit. We still on the corner. We still shooting dice. Okay? We not rapping about how much we love our girlfriends. No, nigga. You know? What bank you rob? I want to hear that. You know? It's really just based on being entertained while, you know, rappers like the Drakes and things like that, like, I just can't get into them. So CRC is like just a hyperbolic way of saying, nah, man, I either want it to be old school or I want it to sound old school. My shit sound old school even though it's new. You get it?
No, I feel you. It's funny. Yeah. When I had Michael Brooks on the show, he was one of my first guests. That's one of the reasons I really like Michael because he'll talk to anyone. And, you know,
exactly. That's what I was telling you, too. You know, that's how we get down.
Well, it's funny. Me and Michael argued a little bit about rap because I don't know. I'm sort of into the conscious hip-hop stuff, the stuff like Immortal Technique, Dialect, and he's more into, like, guns and dope rap.
Hey, what did I just say? Michael's a rap conservative also in a lot of ways, you know? And it just has to do with the fact that I like to be entertained with my rap, man. You know, I'd rather hear Cardi B say, I like niggas that been in and out of jail. You couldn't pay me to listen to Kendrick Lamar, man. No. You know, and that just comes with the era we came up in, and it just our preference. Now, but here's what I will say. These young brothers are talented, and they're really trying to represent as best they can. One thing I always tell people, and this is where it gets serious, I can't tell 21 Savage not to rap about the hardship he lived in his life, watching people get shot, watching his brother get shot. You know, not having papers. You know, like I can't tell these young brothers not to rap about what they're seeing. Now, don't get me wrong. Niggas be full of shit, but it's a lot of situations that these guys are going through. Now, the thing is that they often virtue signal Chicago. And it's like, oh, look at all the crime. Remember, Ivanka, let's take the time out to talk about Chicago. You know, I know there's mass shootings, but niggers are committing crimes too. You know what I mean? And the thing is about it is, it's mental health when white folks want to act like some be on some dumb shit. But when it's black folks, they don't even give a fuck about the PTSD these brothers is going through. So I just, I'd say that.
Well, I was curious, like, what rappers are you sort of into? I mean, I like some of the old school stuff. I don't know, like, Schoolly D is one I grew up on.
That's super old school, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you King of New York, and yeah, oh yeah. If you were to ask me who is my favorite rapper right now, first of all, I'm always going to run with my click first. The guy in the video for Insert Coin, that's my man Lex, okay? You can reach him at, what's he going by? Lex, NYRE, New York Rhyme Exchange. That was his former click. Lex has been on all my projects. He's going to be on the forthcoming ones. He's a good man and a good friend. This is a man that, you know, even though he's in New York, he took me under his wing, man. And he just wanted to make sure that I got through this rehab shit safe. And I can honestly, I love that man. You know? And then secondly, I got my boy FU out of Queens, New York. They're both out of Queens. My man F, man, very, you know, he has a very straightforward delivery. Sometimes he has this hilarious monotone voice. But if you're talking about, like, niggas is doing it in a different sense, like, I love guys like Mayhem, Loren, Rock Marciano. I like Planet Asia, you know, Strong Arm Steady in them niggas, man. You know, it's a slew of guys I like. You know, I can't even name them all because I'm tired. But yeah, like when it comes to this rap shit, man, I'm usually checking for melody first, you know, because I'm a producer, so I hear the music first. The first few bars within that, within a rap song, if they ain't talking about shit, whatever, as long as it don't fit my job, you know. But yeah, man. So, but what about you? Who you fucking with?
Like I said, I'm like a fan of stuff like Immortal Technique. Like I said, Michael Brooks was like, oh no, Immortal Technique sucks, but you know, I like some of the leftist rap stuff. It sort of makes me want to ask you, though, what's your background and in how you got involved with sort of the left is best and what's being called the gangsta left community?
Gangsta left, man. Let me tell you something about the gangsta left. Everybody can't be in it. And it's just a thing. It's just a joke I have, but what I'm saying is that, like, the gangster left is for those, man, that, you know, those that can, you know, on the left, man, we deal in a lot of sensitivity. We try to listen to each other, man. We try to be understanding. The gangster left is for people who not only have that understanding, but they about that action. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's about standing up, too, for the people
We show up for people who can't. And exactly. We show up for people who cannot. You know, and so for me, as far as leftism goes, to answer your question, though, I don't really, I know my dad, I know him. He's a very highly intelligent guy, teacher, et cetera, professors, this and that. But I just don't know him that well, and I never will. My dad actually, you know, he's a vet, you know, I'm a vet too. He very much understood the military industrial complex, things like that. But how can I put this, man? He wasn't really against things like socialism, communism. He was always open to ideas that would help improve humanity, which is amazing because he's a shitty person and a shitty dad. But ideologically, I always understood and respected certain perspectives that he had. But he'd have these conversations when I was like 6, 7, and 8. 8 was the last time he lived with me. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's how I started sort of getting involved, because he would talk about the Bush, you know, George H.W. And he would just talk about how he was with the CIA and that he this and that and the other. And keep in mind, I'm 7. There's no internet. Okay. It's 90. And for me, I'm from the Bay Area, man. You know, I'm from the Bay Area, East Bay. I grew up with LGBTQ classmates. We had a gay club at school. I didn't grow up thinking any of this shit was wrong. And the crazy thing, too, is that within the Black and the Latino community, it's very much ostracized, you know. But for me, I just never saw the issue. No one ever told me it was an issue. If Ricardo wants to wear a dress, a wedding dress, because he's styling one day in high school, okay. So the Bay Area, you know, is supposed to be the bastion of leftism, but I will say this, it's definitely a bastion of tolerance. So I picked up on that very early When it came to socialism, I never really, you know, I didn't see the problem with equality like that. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, yeah, I'm a communist and this and that and the other, because that's an ideology that it's hard for me to, you know, I fuck with communists and I'm a communist sympathizer for real. But I like democratic socialism just to ease it in. And so for me, I've read a lot of books when it came to Cold War, this and that. My reasons for joining the military, maybe one day I'll say, you know. But yeah, oh yeah, I was in the war on terror and all that nonsense. That's the only non-leftist thing I've ever really done. And the thing is, like I said, it's just for me, it just came natural, man. I'm from out here and I read. When you read and when you, you know, want knowledge of self, when you're trying to learn about how things work and you see how fucked up it is, confusing a system that works with a system that's good, that's usually how you get on the left in the first place. Because the other side, them niggas don't read.
Since we were talking about rap earlier, one of my favorite, I like this track by R.A. the Rugged Man called Uncommon Valor. Yeah, I love that Vietnam story track he did. I was like, you know, that's pretty brutal because that's like based around his dad's experiences and whatnot. What do you think about, did the military experience and your dad's experience with the military sort of inform you at all on some things or no?
Yeah, I will say yes. Now, that's a question that I kind of have to shorten because I don't really be talking about that publicly. But to answer your question, yes. I did an episode in June detailing – I did the 30 minutes – I spent 30 minutes on Chief Gallagher's war crimes. And I broke down from a military perspective just how horrible of a person this guy had to be. The military doubt, there's a couple things that came with the military. For one, it taught me discipline that I just didn't have. You know, my mom is an excellent mother, man. You know, she's hard as a fucking rock. She don't show no emotion. But only at the end of the day, for me, I needed another man to teach me to be a man. And the military did assist with that in some ways. But in the military, let me put it to you like this, man. In the military, I learned to bend over, no lubricant, take it and like it. And I just didn't enjoy. After a while, you start wondering what the fuck you're supposed to be doing. And for me, you know, I did. It was what it was. Things I saw in there are what I saw. And I will say this, man. People often talk about God bless the troops, God bless America, and this and that and the other. And for me, I'll never forget this, man. It was an airman, and he was a senior airman, so he's an E4 and this and that. And we were talking to some army dudes. We're all chilling in the barracks and this and that. You know, everyone's got their guns to the sides, et cetera. And, you know, they're getting ready to do, you know, it wasn't night watch exchange, it was patrol. There was a troop movement. And them niggas was like, this white dude was like, yeah, man, we got to pray. Let's get in a prayer circle. And, you know, it's this place, you know, freedom, this great country. And I'll never forget it, man. A dude interrupted and was like, let me tell you something. He's like, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He's all, yeah, of course, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He said, he was like, did he not tell Peter to put the sword away? He was like, well, yeah, he's like, does he not turn the other cheek? And he's like, well, yeah, you know. And he was like, let me tell you something. He's like, the moment we grab these M4s, God ain't got shit to do with that, because at the end of the day, his son told you not to kill your fellow man, and here we are killing. You know, not literally, you know. I'm not saying, oh yeah, we were all killing each other. That's not, or we were getting rack and confirmed kills. That's not what I mean. I'm saying he was speaking in, you know, in jest. And he said, the moment you pick up that gun, the moment you're ready to pull that trigger on your fellow man, you've already failed Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's intense. Yeah.
I never forgot that, man. You know, Easter Egg said it. Didn't Peter tell him to put that sword away? Because if you live by it, you die by it. So all this talk, let me tell you something, man. All this talk of God and guns makes no sense. Because the way I look at it is God, he wasn't reaching, you know, he was just on another level. He out here just, you know, I don't want no tattoos. I don't want you eating this. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you hoes doing that. I don't want you niggas doing this. Obviously, that message wasn't getting through. So he had a son that was more, you know, man, let me tell you something about Jesus, man. Jesus chilling with prostitutes. He chilling with killers. He chilling with the people who need it, man. And was straight up saying it like, look, it doesn't, Mary, it's okay. I got you. I don't judge. You know? And so here you have a guy, man, that would be a snowflake and a coward. And, you know, he'd be all those things to these people. So it tells you that God and guns is just about control. Because I tell you what, California's, you know about California's gun laws, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you know the NRA fucked with that. Second Amendment just didn't apply to us. And it certainly don't apply to us, you know, as Latinos neither.
Yeah, well, I think of how, you know, when the Black Panthers were carrying guns, that's when Republicans went against guns for a while. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. So, you know, let me tell you something. This tells you how long I've been a leftist, man. Going back to your question, too, the first election I ever paid attention to outside of George H.W. was Clinton. Because, you know, as a youngster, how old are you, man?
I'm 28.
Okay, you're 28. I'm 36. As a youngster, man, Clinton's swag was just incredible, man. Despite fucking up black people, he got the black vote. He knew how to play the game.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's really interesting. I wanted to get your take on sort of where we're at culturally with everything now, because, I mean, I know a lot of people that thought Barack Obama being president would change everything, and I don't think it has. I mean, I'm amazed by how emboldened racists are now with Trump. I'm amazed by how many leftists are willing to turn to Tulsi Gabbard, who, you know, is dealing with a fascist like Modi, and I will call him a fascist in India. And I just think to myself, like, what is going on? Like, has everyone lost their mind?
No. No. I do want to walk you through sort of a timeline. When Obama became president, I was like, I don't expect him to do shit for me, but I really hope that he tries to change something. And you know what, man? Like, at the end of the day, something I was sort of afraid of with him being having these centrist Clinton tendencies was true. You know? But I say this all the time, I respect the man because he had to be perfect. You know? He had to be perfect. He is the perfect representative of quote unquote Christianity. He really is, man. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about as a man. He loves his wife, man. And those kids, man. And, you know, like, he really, that's what hurt me about his presidency is he's clearly a good person. You know?
I mean, he looked like
bring that shit to the Oval Office, nigga.
What was that?
Why couldn't he bring that goodness to the Oval Office like Bernie gonna do? You know?
No, I feel you on that. I was gonna say, I always had like a weird soft spot for Obama because, you know, I thought he meant well, and like you could see progressively how tired he was getting throughout the presidency, and you know how badly, you know, people like Fox News went after him, Donald Trump went after him, these crazy birthers. Even though I felt like he was like too much of a centrist, I always like had a certain sympathy for him, and I felt like he had to do things that other people didn't have to put up with. You know, I know in his book he talks about, you know, if he would have, you know, dated or married like a white woman, you know, everyone would have freaked out. But he ended up with Michelle, which is great. But there's like a lot of double standards he had to put up with.
You know what? The thing that intimidates white women about Michelle, she don't need Barack.
That's true.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. A lot of white women, you know, who fuck with Trump and this and that, they need that mate patriarchy. They need that shit. To know that a dark-skinned black woman outdid you. Imagine having a whole system built for you to win, and you still can't win. You still a loser. You know? That's got to hurt. Yeah, you got all the cheat codes on and you still can't do it? I'd hate Michelle too. You know? Am I making sense?
No, I feel you on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, just you know, going back, my point though was that this is, Trump is what America has always been. And we had, for a little while, white people wanted to have improvement, so we got it. Right now, white folks, they would rather destroy the planet. And obviously, you know, you're Caucasian. You know what this is about. Not about you. I just want to make that clear.
No, I understand what you're
nigga,
saying.
My nigga, we good. But these folks would rather destroy the planet than live on equal terms with us. You know? And it just, for me, this is how it's always been, man. They don't need to hide it anymore. You got to understand something. The moment Trump said Mexicans are rapists, they're this and that and the other, that should have been the end of his presidency. And when it wasn't, I was worried.
No, I feel you on that. I mean, the thing I always go back to is, you know, when I learned about like Martin Luther King in elementary school, we learned about, you know, his interest in civil rights and his being a leader for civil rights. But we never learned about like how he tied together economic justice, the anti-war movement, and civil rights together. He said we needed all of these things to work together to fight, you know, systemic oppression. I didn't learn that until I sort of self-taught and then went to college. I just feel like there's so much whitewashing of history when it comes to the civil rights struggles and just the struggles of you know, common people in general.
Well, think of that quote by James Baldwin, to be black in America is just this constant state, you know, of, you know what I mean? It's so difficult because think about what you said. You got to pay to learn about your own people. If you're Latino, it's worse. You got to search for the classes. You think everything that's going on in Brazil right now? You think everything that's going on that? You think that's going on in our history books? No. Shit, there might not be a book because there ain't no fucking rainforest, you know? It's this is what I mean, man. You know, motherfuckers just doing what they want, saying what they want. They're just fledging ignorance, man. You know, reveling in ignorance as our planet dies. It's just that is almost shocking to me, but it's like, damn, man, you'd rather destroy the planet, destroy civilization before you let us live on equal terms. Can't even get certain books in prison and shit. Can't even learn about yourself. It's wild, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we didn't even learn about, you know, great Latin American activists like, you know, the labor leader, the civil rights leader, Cesar Chavez. Never got to learn about him.
Cesar Chavez is a god out here. He god out here, you know, and rightfully so. But what state you in?
I'm in Pennsylvania, so it's pretty damn white out here, and sometimes I get annoyed by it, just the attitude some people have.
I mean, you gotta understand, man, like, it's just right now, I've said this, man, this can't go on for another 4 years, or there's not gonna be a union no more, man. There's not gonna be a union anymore. Whatever, you know, they talk about the office of the presidency being ruined. It is. The presidency don't mean much no more in terms of respecting the office.
I mean, it's a joke with this guy we have now.
Yeah. But that tells you our system was always a joke. You know, you ever seen that movie Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt?
You know, I know about it, but I haven't seen it.
There's a scene at the end of that movie that's, I you know, I'll never forget it. And it talked about something my dad used to talk about. My dad's expertise is U.S. history. And like I said, I know all this, just my limited interactions. As an adult, I sort of talked to him, you know. Not anymore. We haven't spoken in years now. And I'll be honest, man, unless he's dying, even then I got to make a decision if I care enough to even see. But I'll tell you this. He knew U.S. history. And he used to talk about it, how, you know, he was like, man, if the British really cared, they could have stomped these guys out. but they didn't, you know? And he talked about how all that no taxation without representation, they were trying to keep that slave money, you know? And they felt that the system wasn't fair. They didn't want to pay them taxes. You know, they weren't being systematically oppressed. It was money. And one thing that got me was, like, and Brad Pitt points out in the movie, he's like, all men are created equal, something, a saying he clearly did not believe as he fucked his slave girl. You know? And on that, I never even thought about it like that, but it's true. That Constitution is just the ultimate virtue signal. They didn't believe any of that shit in there, because if they did, why would they have slavery as an institution still?
Well, I was going to add to that. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately about, you know, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor. Everyone got mad at him.
My nigga, he was right, and every black person knew it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, when he said, you know, our way of life was built on the backs of slavery. We bombed Panama. We bombed Iraq. We killed unarmed civilians, children, parents that were going to work that never got to come home because we bombed them. He was right about all that. And, you know, they leave all that out and they just say, oh, he said goddamn America. Well, I don't see why the guy shouldn't be righteously angry. People should be angry about the history of this country. And if people are mad that I'm saying that, I mean, sorry, tough luck.
Let me tell you something, man. God has already, if there is a God, we've already been condemned. We've already been condemned because this shit is fucked up, man. You know, and it's not getting better. And it won't get better in a sense of, you know, it going back. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't want to go back to the 1950s. I don't want to go back to the 50s. That magical time that every, you know, boomer talks about. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. When, you know, people didn't have rights, when there was segregation? What do you mean the magical 1950s? That's bullshit.
Yeah, and I say God has already damned it because, man, I'm living, you know, I'm really, you know, I do pray for my kid's mom, who, you know, I care about very much. She's not a citizen, man. And it's just like, my son, he knows about ICE separations. Like, I put him on. He's my son. And if you don't teach him, fucking YouTubers will. It's like we're living in fear over that. We're the richest country in the world and people are killing themselves. We're the richest country in the world and people are slaughtering each other. If you were to take certain events that are happening here, now imagine it being 200 years after it was recorded, like the Bible. Imagine how fantastic this shit sounds. And I don't mean that in a good way. I mean fantastical, you know?
Yeah.
So what you're hearing about in terms of those stories and things, and how you have this despot, you know, appearing and just being selfish and defying this and that, pretending to give a fuck, I'm the chosen one, sounds like some biblical shit. You know, the Vegas attack. Add some fucking crazy devilish elements. You have a gospel right there. You get what I'm saying?
No, I feel you on that. I mean, even, you know, and this will be controversial too. Like these mass shootings that are happening, you know, like the Gilroy Garlic shooting, you know, they're horrible. But I've said to people, I'm like, there are communities in America that suffer that sense of terror every day. And now there's a lot of middle class suburbanites that are like, well, now that could happen to us. Now we're worried about it. But they didn't care back then. I mean, it's just like the opioid epidemic. I mean, when the opioid epidemic, when the heroin epidemic hit Philly, no one cared because, you know, apparently people of color, they don't matter to America. And that pisses me off.
Niggas is doing life over using drugs, man. You know, and it's not right. Like I said, now it's, we got to look at the humanity. When before it was put the niggas in jail. And like I said, man, this country has always been this way. We love the idea of America more than we love America. You know, we like the idea of it. Like I said, those dudes wrote those words and they were full of shit. You know, they were full of shit. At the end of the day, man, they protected capital and they seized power. Period. And if it wasn't about seizing power, why did you attack Mexico when they were 20 years removed and still recovering from, you know, defeating Spain? Why attack them when you knew they didn't have the money and the manpower to fight? You know, you try to intimidate them to buying states and this and that. Nah, man, it was always about white supremacy. And it always will be until we have systematic change. Fuck this. I'm going to be a cop and be one of the good ones. Fuck that shit. I told someone who I'm real cool with. She was like, hey, at my DSA meeting, how come they're not responding to, like, abolishing the police? I said, because, man, you got to play the game like the right wingers do it. Don't say abolish the police. Abolish poverty. Abolish poverty so that way people will look and say, you know what? I have something to protect here. Let's work this shit out. You know? At the end of the day, police not having to protect capital puts everyone on equal terms. You take away poverty, then everybody matters.
Yeah, that's to me what I took away when I started reading Martin Luther King much more like closely, and not just the public schooling that I got. I mean, he was saying just that. We have to deal with economic inequality.
They hated it. They hated that. And you know, like I said, it's good that you're asking these questions, because you're getting some real insight as to who I am. You know? I think people get the wrong impression about me, thinking that they just going, you know, that I'm some dumb nigga around the block that don't know what he's talking about. I just, like I said, I choose not to be something that I'm not. But on the other hand, like I said, man, learning about MLK, nigga was basically, your brother was basically a communist. You know, yeah. He really did have the right ideas. They hated him then. They fucking hate him now. You know, there's not a single prominent black leftist that those individuals like. They just throw their names out there. You know, they throw their names out there to make it look like that they're not racist or whatever. But I mean, did you see? I saw on a Right Wing Watch some GOP, I think running for governor. I forgot where. He just said the N-word. Mm-hmm. You know, then the other one, we want to keep this shit white.
Oh, was that Steve King that said that? That one representative?
No, okay. No, hold up. Right-wing Louisiana gubernatorial candidate drops N-bomb on local radio. Gary Landrieu. Yep.
Wow. I can't believe it. Like, it just sort of, like, it just aggravates me that we're still, like, things haven't changed the way people thought they have since the 60s. I mean, racism, systemic white supremacy, something that people just won't talk about. I mean, you know, I know we're getting into really dark territory. It's upsetting for people to hear that. But, you know, you can't talk about these issues without talking about the history of slavery, the history of what happened after slavery. I mean, stuff like the Tuskegee Institute syphilis study. I mean, just the treatment that, you know, marginalized groups in America have faced. I'm amazed that people, and they personalize it. People are like, well, you're saying I'm a bad person because of what happened in the past. I'm like, no, I'm saying that these are issues that we have to deal with now, like, because they affect the present.
And listen to me, we're not, unless I'm going to be honest with you, man, this country isn't going to do it unless it's forced to on a systematic basis. Because it's easier to act like, you know, why would you admit that a system that's built for you to win is built for you to win? Because then that would mean that you really wasn't shit to begin with. Does that make sense? A lot of these motherfuckers ain't shit. Look at, let me tell you something. Look at how perfect Barack had to be to get in. And they treated him like a dog, man. They got on him for all the wrong reasons. I have every reason to get at that nigga. But not for what they think, you know? And the thing is that it's easier to run away. It's easier to give European white Jews the mantle on their suffering was worse than anything that ever happened. And the reason why I'm saying this is not to be mocking Jews. That is not it. It's not fair that for what empires in Brazil, now Brazil obviously very close to my heart, we built a fucking empire down there. We had more slaves than anybody else. And we're told down there, we're the dumb ones. We're fucking lazy. Bolsonaro says straight up, we're not even worth breeding. that type of attitude in the West is why I said, confront it. Why? For what? They're free, ain't they? They'll never be able to feel the pain and the frustration of knowing that your ancestors built something, got nothing for it, and you're being told how you need to get it together.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that has always struck me is I just feel like, you know, I'm a white Caucasian male, right? And I think to myself a lot, I'm like, this whole system was built on the broken backs and blood of other people. And to me, it's like, as long as we don't confront that, you know, the whole thing's going to remain the way it is.
Everything that they said Barack was going to be, Trump is. He's stupid. He don't know what he's doing. You know, he has no taste. He's classless. You know, I honestly think he didn't finish college, man. I think they pushed that dude through. He is incredibly stupid.
I mean, I can believe it because I don't know how that dude is president. I mean, everyone in New York hates him because everyone in New York is just like, he's an idiot. I mean, back in the 80s, he would get mad because magazines like Spy Magazine would make fun of him for going bankrupt multiple times. And this guy is our president. Like, what?
And what's happening? We're going bankrupt right now. You know, the institutions, the few checks and balances. I'm not saying the founding fathers were not smart. I'm just saying that they built the system so that they could win. And at the end of the day, that's why I laugh at the gods and guns and all that. Why the fuck did they leave England if they wanted all that bullshit here? They didn't. You know?
Can I comment on that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I was going to say, I always find it funny when people out here in Pittsburgh, PA, talk about, you know, oh, I love the Founding Fathers, the Constitution. I'm like, the Founding Fathers were all aristocrats. They would have looked at you guys and been like, you guys are plebs. I mean, they were kind of elitists. They weren't talking about freedom for everyone. I mean, they mostly cared about their sort of aristocratic class group.
You know what I love, too? I love it when motherfuckers will sit there and tell you how, you know, you're like that soldier somehow won any freedom for anyone. Civil War, okay, you know, that did a little something. But World War II didn't win nobody no fucking freedom over here. It didn't. You know, no course of action that was good for any black, Latin, Asian, because you know they try to ban them from coming through. You know, none of that was won through combat. It was won through nonviolence and persistence to change a system to where you have to look yourself in the face and say, damn, man, I'm really a piece of shit. Maybe I should, you know, let black folks sit on the front of the bus, you know?
Yeah.
So I just hate the way they use soldiers as this way to get you to it's this constant, it's forever grieving. That's why I'm going to get into some, I just want to make this point because I got to go soon, but I never liked the concept of the cross because obviously, you know, obviously I believe in a God. I'm not going to say I'm Christian or whatever because remember I said I prayed, you know? I think the concept of Jesus gives people hope and I'm okay with that. You know, but I hate the cross because of the fact that it's this constant guilt trip. You guilt people into believing as opposed to them wanting to believe. So you're going to guilt me into, well, you know, the greatest generation, they sacrificed everything and blah, blah, blah. All right. But at the end of the day, on my dad's side, because I'm shit, fourth, fifth generation vet, came home to a segregated unit being spit on. The fuck kind of freedom is that? You know? We did. Everybody else did the bidding. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of people fucked with Hitler. At the end of the day, we didn't let Jews who needed to be here so bad, needed asylum, we sent them to their death. You know about that, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, man, the idea of this country, you know, the only time I really fucked with America, the Olympics, you know what I'm saying? The Olympics, Team USA, you know, like that's when, because it's like, hey, we from out here. hey, let's represent. Let's do it for the hood, you know?
I like that.
But all this fucking stars and stripes and shit like that, man, that's out.
Yeah, that's not what it should be about. I know you have to keep going.
I do.
But before you go, I wanted to ask you one more thing, just sure. to end it on a lighter note. Got to ask, how did you manage to get on Jesse Lee Peterson's show and sort of just roast him?
All right, so first of all, I've known about Jesse Lee Peterson like 12, 13 years. He's been a piece of shit most of his life. I gotta say, man, like, you know, reason why also I mentioned Gangsta Left is because I don't pretend to be civil with people who I know advocate for the destruction, the murder, and or, you know, trying to say that, you know, believing in race science and White History Month. You know, I know that, like, you know, let's say my boy Kentucky Fried, that's my boy, man. I love him, man. You know, I call him, I check in on him. He was in a car accident recently, man. Like, I know his arms get better. He's a great guy. But I, you know, people appear on the show that, you know, he's there in studio and things like that. I can't take a picture and smile with a man who, now, I don't blame him for taking the picture. It's not him. Because at the end of the day, Kentucky Fried is not black. You know, he can't, you know, I could never ask him to feel the way that I feel for that, because that's not his place, you know? And Kentucky Fried's politics are completely in line with mine. It's not it. It's just that me, I'm a nerd straight up. Now, my family has been in and out of jail, a couple in out of prison. But for me, street rules apply. If you say things like White History Month and all this other shit, I don't fuck with you. I got on Jesse Lee Peterson's show because my nigga Big Ben Burgers, AKA, you know, AKA just because I got a gut don't mean I ain't hungry, you know?
He's a friend of the show, actually. He's been on multiple times. Yeah, he's awesome.
Let me tell you, he's a friend to every show, man. You know, and Ben is a great person. You know, he don't have to come on my, he didn't have to give me a shot and he did. So they kept asking him, you know, can you know anyone? Can you get anyone? Can you know anyone? And he threw my name out there. And I said, Ben, hey, you know what's going to happen if I come on? You know, because I plays no games, man. Hey, as you know, I'm not one of these niggas talking shit on Twitter and then you hear my voice. No, this, I have the same conviction. And people know sincerity. They can test sincerity. They feel sincerity. So I go on the show and he's asking me these questions. I had them shits locked and loaded. You know, I do wish I hadn't have gone in so hard. But you know what, man? Like, hey, it's best 2 minutes of his life and mine, baby.
Yeah, he cut you off after 2 minutes. And my favorite moment was when you said, he was like, what is a man? And you said, not you. Certainly not you. Next question.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is, you didn't research me. You didn't want to learn anything. You're just going to ask me a set of dumb questions. I'm the only person to walk out alive from that shit. Ever.
Yeah, I think you fried his brain because you actually stood up to him. I mean, you kind of kicked his ass there. That's why he cut you off.
I remember, nigga, I stand up with it. I stand up to anybody who's, you know, I'm for anti-fascism, however it needs to be fought. You know, I'm not one of these, you know, oh, Antifa's cosplaying and this and that. Let me tell you something. Antifa made it real uncomfortable out here in the East Bay when the motherfuckers wanted to show up and do a little rally. Very uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of when, you know, Cornel West talked about, you know, they were doing like a... Yeah. At Charlottesville, he said if it wasn't for Antifa, you know, we would have been toast.
Yep. So for me personally, man, anti-fascism is anti-fascism. If you don't agree with their tactics, that's fine. But when niggas got to get their ass beat, that's what it is. And if you ain't going to do it, get the fuck out the way of somebody who will. I'd rather be an anti-fascist and take a beating, you know? Like, damn, man, if I'm on the ground and I got out-grappled, hey, whatever, fine. Then I'll take that submission. I'll take that beating as opposed to letting a fucking Proud Boy / neo-Nazi / crypto-Nazi, whatever they calling it, you know? I'd rather let them than to know that every time you come out here, it's going to be a fight. Every time you come out here, we ain't handling this shit like gentlemen. We in some gangster shit. You know, like that. That's the thing, man. People who are willing to go to bat for you, get the fuck out the way and let them go to bat for you.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, people got to understand these right wingers we're dealing with. What they are at the end of the day is they're these pathetic bullies. And, you know, I think standing up to them is the thing that you have to do. That's what the gangsta left is all about. And, you know, I know you got to get going, so I want to thank you for coming on, Cole James Cash. And maybe you could tell my listeners how they can listen to GNN.
You know what, man? I know this is going to sound a little odd, but I don't have, like, a URL at the moment. I have a URL, but I don't know what it is memorized, man. I do work as much as I can, and I'm a parent. Like, I'm trying my best, but you can usually type in Ghetto News Network and you see my logo. That's me. but the easiest way would be soundcloud.com/GNN Channel 10, patreon.com/GNN Channel 10. I post all my stuff on the Patreon. And you know what, man, like, I really hope that the show was informative, you know? You had some questions about me, and I hope I was able to answer them.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. And like I said, I want to thank you again for coming on Parallax Views.
No, no problem. You guys take care. You guys, it's just you. You take care, bro.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Cole James Cash, and I hope you will check out GNN Channel 10 on YouTube. Let me know your thoughts about this edition of Parallax Views by dropping me a line on Twitter at ViewsParallax, or by email at parallaxviewspod@protonmail.com. Also, please consider supporting me on Patreon, where you can hear the Parallax Views current events program of the week that was, as well as the occasional extra interview on Parallax Views After Hours. Your support is very much appreciated. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views with Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say, don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing it like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.